Hi, I'm Simon Richardson, a member of the news team here at Manx Radio. I've spent a bit of time with Neil Mellon, the head of the island's food bank operation. He explained to me in detail the increasing demand on the charity and just how it responds to the many challenging issues it faces on a day-to-day basis and how people should go about seeking help.
We've seen a continuous demand, which has been increasing on a monthly basis since the start of the summer holidays, but we would expect to see that most years anyway. What we're seeing is more of an increase in specific forms of poverty and crisis. So we've seen a lot of issues in relation to fuel poverty and also what I would class as fuel anxiety, because we're not really into the crunch of all this yet.
As it develops, you're going to see a lot more people who've never actually used the facility before. There will be apprehension among those people to come to you for the first time. Should there be any apprehension? And what is the process by which they can actually take advantage of this facility?
Yeah, there really is absolutely no reason for people to be anxious about coming here. We're here for a purpose, and that's to help anybody who's in crisis. The route for referral, well, that there's many approaches to how clients can come to us. We have a number of consultant psychiatrists who'll refer. We've had the occasional GP. We have a lot of community care workers who'll refer to us. The various justice departments, either prison, probation or police, might refer to us. Education officers, teachers, dinner ladies, mums who ring up concerned about their adult children who have left home and may not be coping. But at the end of the day, anyone can pick up the phone and say, can I come in? I need some help. It's definitely the right decision to make, and it's a very mature decision. It's not a decision people take lightly. Nobody wakes up thinking, oh great, it's Monday, I want to go to the food bank. People are coming here because they're desperate. They don't know where to turn too often, and we can help in many ways, not just in relation to food, which is one of the tools that we use, but by reassurance, by education, by help with their budget advice. Although we'll also refer people on to other agencies to do it in a more sophisticated form. And we use a lot of non-food related tools to help us get people in crisis back to being independent.
You mentioned before that the nature of the people, if that's the right term, coming has changed in recent times. You're seeing from in the past more and more individuals. Now you're seeing a lot of families.
Yes, really since we moved up to Ballard Fletcher, we started to see an increase in the number of families that are coming through to us. And nowadays, the majority of the people that will come to us will come as family units.
It's a huge operation. I had no idea till I came here today just how big it was when you've showed me around. The actual logistics of it must be increasingly difficult.
Yeah, it's at the end of the day, it's like being in full-time work with a full-time workforce. So we have about 100 volunteers across the island, obviously not all working at any one time and not doing this full-time. Most people will come and donate either a day or half a day to help, and that's appreciated from whichever quarters it comes from. So we need a workforce. We need to have a storage facility, because the more people we help, the more food we need. The more food we need, the more space we need to store it in. We encourage as many people as possible to come and pick up food for their purposes, but we're people physically or emotionally or because of mental illness just can't get here, we will deliver. So we've got a team of drivers who come in and deliver food to homes during the day, and we have an evening team of drivers who go out and pick up food from the major supermarkets in the evenings. We have volunteers who do administration work, we have the volunteers who interview the clients, and we have volunteers who work out in the community on our allotment. So massive range of people.
We mentioned Christmas before. It's not just a time of need, but it's a time of huge emotional need for a lot of people.
I suppose a lot of problems become magnified at a time like Christmas. Is this an added problem?
Oh, absolutely. If we were to look at the theories and research to do with stress and anxiety in the human population, we would see that loss of a spouse, death, loss of a job, and Christmas are major, major factors. So if you add any of those into an existing episode of crisis where you're financially unstable or where you have a short-term issue causing poverty within the family, all that's going to be magnified at Christmas.
You mentioned before that the problems of increasing fuel costs and the like are only just beginning, because really that is the case. People have probably had one bill with the raised prices and things are still rising as we speak. Are you really worried about what's going to be coming in the next few months?
Yes, I'm worried on a number of levels. It's not just the issue around fuel poverty and how people manage that and how we assist with that, but it's also the issue of fuel anxiety. I see more anxiety-related issues where people aren't actually in crisis, but they believe themselves to be, or they're concerned how they're going to cope in the future when these bills come through. So there's lots of reasons why we should be concerned about what's happening. Fuel poverty is not a new problem to the food bank or to organisations. We've had the Douglas Coal Fund that's existed for years, the oldest charity on the island, who worked specifically with fuel poverty. We have the Salvation Army, who spend a lot of money assisting people who are in crisis during the year with fuel and other issues like school uniforms, etc. So it's not new, but what is new, I think, to all of us is the quantum of people that are affected by it and the effects that then has on people's mental health, the effect it has on families, the effect it has on businesses. So, yes, there's a lot to be concerned about.
I guess the perception among a lot of people out there is that people who are hungry or just need food just come up here, say, can I have some food, and you give them some and they walk away. It's a much more complex operation than that.
Yes, I think if we were an organisation that was looking just at managing food waste and redirecting it to the public who need it, that could be done very mechanically. Yes, here's your bag of goods, cheerio, see you next week. That's not our philosophy. Our philosophy and ethos is to help and support people who are in crisis and help them migrate from crisis back to being independent by the use of various tools such as food, non-food items. So we like to interview our clients up front at the start. We identify how many people would be in the household. We identify the reasons that they may have gone into crisis. We identify any specific problems that they have in relation to diet, such as food allergies, their ability to cook and prepare food. There's a generation of people out in the community that missed out on home economics and through poor parenting just have no idea how to cook. So we help with that, and we'll help with ensuring that people have the appropriate facilities to cook. As a charity, we can't afford to buy people a replacement cooker, but we can give them a slow cooker and advice on how to use that.